everybody. I'm Bobby Flay, and this is the TDN podcast. I'm kind of filling in today for the people who really do this. I'm just hanging out. I wanted to talk to my my good friend here, Saul Cumin. When I think of cumin, it's usually a spice. I put it in black beans, lots of Latin food. But today we're going to be talking to the reigning, you're the reigning new Thoroughbred Owner of the Year.
I am unfortunately not reigning anymore. There has been a new champion, but I was the first.
The TDN podcast is being sponsored by TaylorMade, so let's hear from them.
Looking for unique gift ideas for the holidays? Visit TaylorMade's new online gift shop for a wide array of horse-themed items, including exclusive merchandise featuring the one and only California Chrome. Visit shop.taylormadefarm.com.
All right, Saul. So, first of all, we just met this year. I mean, I obviously follow very closely what's going on in the horse business because it's so important to me. But also, I mean, it's one of those things that I love. And one of the things that I realized that the minute I met you was that this thing is infectious to you. I can see, I've watched you from afar, from a distance, really be enthusiastic about this game. And it's really, it's a great thing to see because we need more of that. Like, how did you get into this? Like, I'll just tell you really quickly. I was, you know, degenerate kid, you know, cutting out of high school, and we used to go to Aqueduct, Belmont, Saratoga, whatever was open, Roosevelt Raceway, which doesn't exist anymore, the Meadowlands, whatever we could bet, any horses we could bet on, we bet on. And so that's how I got interested in it. And of course, my grandfather took me to Saratoga, and I was 16 years old, and I was hooked. But that's not your story at all.
No. I mean, I grew up in Boston. And there really wasn't any racing growing up. Suffolk Downs was there, but it was not a place I spent a lot of time. I did, however, spend a lot of time at the Wonderland Dog Track, and that was my intro to betting back in the day.
So you were better.
I was a better.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
I was a better, but knew literally nothing about horses. I mean, yeah. I grew up in the city of Boston, you know, pretty middle class.
Yeah.
You know, no access to horses.
Right.
Knew nothing about horses. Went to college, Johns Hopkins down in Baltimore, and got my first taste of a horse race. Two of the 4 years I was in college, I played lacrosse in college, and if we were able to end up top four in the country, we'd get a bye.
So you were a good lacrosse player.
I was okay. I was a little quicker than I am today.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, obviously, to play at Johns Hopkins, I mean, I don't know anything about lacrosse, but I know that Johns Hopkins is a good lacrosse team. And so if you're, that's a nationally ranked team almost all the time.
Yeah,
right?
We were good. We played in Final Fours most of my years that I was there. So
wow.
we were pretty good.
It was
great.
That's cool.
Great experience and love the school. So, you know, if we ended up top four in the country, we get a bye. And that bye week would always come on the Preakness week.
Okay, so the third Saturday of May.
Exactly.
Right.
So we would get that weekend off. We'd practice all week, and then coach would give us a weekend off. We'd have 2 days to kind of, you know, blow off some steam and then get back to practice and prepare for the team we're going to play in the playoffs the next week. And so that was my first time ever going to the Preakness. Now, my experience was a little bit different this year than it was then. We would go to the infield. We would, you know, drink a lot of cocktails and beers.
Which is what the Preakness has been known for in many ways.
Exactly. And I loved it.
Although I have to say, I think the Preakness has stepped their game up so much in the last 5 years.
I thought it was incredible.
It's a great party.
It was unbelievable. I mean, the tents this year, it was incredible. I mean, this year was the first time I'd done it in any way outside of the infield.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so I don't have
Well, you were in the infield this year too, but you were in a beautiful luxury suite.
That's
I
exactly
saw
right.
you there.
That luxury suite was pretty good. That was one of those. That'll be chalked up as one of the all-time great days for me. So I found myself, even when I was there at the infield, I did like the racing. I was always, because I liked to bet, I'd get the program, and most of my goon buddies were, you know, focused on jumping around the infield.
Yeah, of course.
I found myself, you know, in the corners trying to figure out, you know, betting the money that I made working at a bar, trying to find a way to see if I could double it while I was there. But after that, honestly, you know, that was it. I mean, I moved to New York right after college, started working, and had really no exposure to horses until about 3 years ago. One of my good buddies, who's my partner in Sheep Pond, named Jay Hanley, had grown up with horses. He had, you know, had a similar background to you, had gone to the track with his dad, and had spent some time at Saratoga growing up. He built my house in Nantucket, and mm-hmm. he's my age. He had actually worked on Wall Street, basically said, screw it, moved out to Nantucket, started a building company, and has, you know, it's been really successful. And he said to me one day, look, I think you'd love this. Like, it's got action. There's all the stuff that I think you like. I know you pretty well. So we got a group of guys together. It was, you know, a few of us. We put a little bit of money in, and not a lot. And we bought five horses in our first group.
You really didn't know anything about horse racing. It could be daunting. Obviously, it was a leap of faith for you. But like, what was it that made you say, okay, you know what, I'm going to follow this guy into the horse business?
Nothing. I mean, it was literally nothing. It was right. A buddy of mine that said, hey, write me a check for X, get a couple of your buddies.
Yeah,
I think you'll like
just
this.
Just for fun.
For fun. Had nothing to do with, you know, he introduced me to Chad Brown. Chad, again, was about my age. Yeah. He's a couple years younger. Yep. Loved him. Thought, this could be fun, but I had no expectations at all. I thought this was just like investing in a restaurant or something that I do and maybe get to go once or twice a year, and had no expectations of really anything.
We in the horse business, when you're around the sales, you're at the racetrack, and there are people there that you know are in the business, and they get pigeonholed or boxed into sort of one title or sort of, you know, who they are, so to speak, outside the business. You would be what I would consider one of the finance guys in the business. Yeah. Like, he's in finance. And like nobody really knows what that means, but what is it that you do?
I have a hedge fund.
You have a hedge fund.
Yeah.
So you basically, you raise a bunch of money and then you invest in different things?
That's exactly right. Raise a bunch of money. So I worked at a big hedge fund for about 10, 11 years and then left about 2 years ago. Worked for an awesome guy and started my own. And it's been interesting. It's been a tough time to start a hedge fund, but we've got about 75 people that work for us.
Right.
And we've got that office in Boston, New York, and just opened one in Hong Kong. So we're grinding away.
All right. So now we know what you do. Okay. It's perfect. So
it's not that exciting,
when you hear the names like Lady Eli, Wavell Avenue, actually both of those horses I lost to in the Breeders' Cup. I have a horse named Quality Rocks that I have with a bunch of my buddies. Lady Eli destroyed her last year in the Breeders' Cup. And then Wavell Avenue won the sprint last year, and I had Dame Dorothy in that race. Again, she didn't run that well. So, I mean, you beat me a lot, which is okay. We're still buddies. We can have cocktails. But, you know, I'm so happy for your success. Also, Exaggerator, of course. I mean, when it comes to household horse names in the business, these are amongst them. Even Undrafted. Were you part of Undrafted during the Ascot?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. See, here's the thing that people just don't realize, which is like, and I don't think that you even understand how impressive this is, because you've been in the business for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. You've taken a strategy, which I really want to hear about. And I want to see if any of the things that you do in your finance world, you sort of overlap and utilize in your horse strategy, because it's really been impressive. we have, you know, Lady Eli, who is one of the great stories maybe of all time. I mean, and I mean that. Of course, you know, she's had some sickness and she's come back from it. It's an amazing story. I've never seen a horse come back from laminitis like this ever. I don't think anybody has. Wavell Avenue wins the Breeders' Cup. Exaggerated wins the Preakness. You go to Ascot, which is one of my dreams, to actually win a race in Ascot. I ran in a race in Ascot, and trust me, we had the best time. We got the top hat and tails. We were all decked out. My horse ran last, and we had the greatest time. You won in Ascot. I mean, there's almost very few things you have left to do in the horse racing business in terms of bucket list. Of course, there's always going to be something, but like, you have incredible success. What? Where does this come from?
Well, I mean, I think we've been lucky, right? I mean, there's definitely an element of that. When you think about Lady Eli, that was luck, right? I mean, there are a lot of people that were involved in, you know, picking the horse out, and Chad's done an unbelievable job with the horse. But that was lucky, right? We went to a sale. It was the last horse left in a pinhook venture. You know, Chad liked it. Jay liked it. We bought it.
I know, but that never happens. It happens sometimes.
It happens sometimes. And I think, you know, as I've gotten more experience, so again, when we won the Breeders' Cup with her, I had no idea how big of a deal it was, right? I mean, just no idea. I mean, I remember, you know, she ran twice. She won twice. We went to both the races, and we weren't even really going to go to the Breeders' Cup. And then everyone's like, dude, you got to go. Like, this horse can win.
When you say you weren't going to go, you weren't physically going to go, or the horse wasn't going to go?
Oh, the horse was going to go.
Okay. weren't going to go?
Yeah. Well, I just didn't, I didn't really know what the Breeders' Cup was. I mean, I hate to say it. I just, you know, I had no idea.
This is like not too long ago.
This is 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
2 years ago. So we went, and I took a group of friends, and turned out we had a blast. And that was really, when I sort of saw how big the sport could be, right? Because you go to a race at Saratoga and when she broke her maiden in House Silks, and you're sort of like, okay, this is, I can see how people like this. And then, then we go to the Miss Grillo, and it's a, rainy day at Belmont with, 1,000 people there. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, well, we won a grade three. This is great. What's a grade three?
Right.
And then the Breeders' Cup, you're like, whoa, like this is the big, I get it now.
The big stage.
So after that, and that horse is really the one that got us you know, at least for me personally, really got me hooked on the sport and just right. realizing what you could do. Since then, I think we've realized that we were lucky buying that horse at the sale. We still buy horses at sales. It's still part of what we do. But I've changed a lot of my program. And I've done much more stuff like Wavell Avenue, like Undrafted, like Exaggerator. You know, we've had a pretty good run. I think we've had 13 grade one winners in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And they've been, you know, most of them have been stuff that we bought privately.
Yeah. All right, hold that thought, because I'm going to let you listen to probably one of your favorite stretch calls of all time, you know, going back to your town of Baltimore and winning the Preakness. So let's take a listen to Exaggerated winning the Preakness, and then we'll hear from TaylorMade one more time.
As they come to the gate pole, it is Exaggerator in front. Now, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming at him in second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
For Grade 1 winners and Breeders' Cup champions, TaylorMade is your number one source. Now, with a new online gift shop, TaylorMade is also the place to find unique holiday gift ideas. What will you find? Visit shop.taylormadefarm.com.
Hey, everybody. It's Bobby Flay hanging out with Sol Kumin, who is going on and on about his amazing success, which honestly, Sol, it's I've never seen anything like it. And besides the fact that that you've had success, I think that everybody in the horse business is really happy for you. You know, success sometimes breeds jealousy. I don't see that at all with you. I think that you're a great winner, and I think that you're a good sport when things don't go your way. I mean, everybody watches everything that goes on in the horse business and in life in general. And so I think that you've become very quickly a great ambassador, somebody that I think a lot of people look up to and hope that we can get more Sol Kumins into this business, because your energy is just it's infectious.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah. Look, I mean, the hardest thing about this sport is you lose most of the time, right? So if you're going to be a
even
bad
if
loser,
you're good, you lose most of the time.
It's tough, and if you're going to be a bad loser, it's not going to be a lot of fun.
So you have all these partnerships. We have like five or six different partnerships.
Yeah, I think it's five.
So why is that? Like, I have partners in a couple of things. Most of the things I own myself, and that's only because I have a certain strategy that I want to sort of set through, and it's a long-term strategy because I like the breeding part of the business, and so decisions, I don't have a lot of people to ask questions about, like what to do with the horse after the horse is retired, who I want to send the horse to in terms of a stallion, what I want to do with the foals. So it just becomes a little bit easier for me. Now, that said, I take on more of the risk, and I can't own as many horses as if I had a partnership like you have. So you have like five or six partnerships, but explain why there's more than one.
Yeah, I mean, they all sort of just evolved over time, right? Mm-hmm. The first one was, you know, a group of five or six guys that bought five horses. The next one was Sheep Pond, which is probably one of the two major partnerships, and that's my friend Jay Hanley and I run that, and it's with two other buddies. That was just two other friends of ours wanted to buy some horses.
So you created a new partnership.
Create a new partnership, right? Two other friends, and Jay and I sort of make the decisions together, and we've got 25, 30 horses in that group. And then I wanted to do some other stuff on my own, so I started Head of Plains, which is, you know, another one. And then I had one buddy that really got into it with me. So most of the stuff I own in there is either me by myself or me with one friend. And then I had two of the guys from the first group wanted to do some more stuff, so we started another one, which is just three of us. So they're not really big groups of people. Most of them are two people, three people, one person, four people. And it's really just to kind of keep everything clean, and we keep them, you know, so we all put the same amount of money in, and it makes it simple. Most of them I run, and then Sheep Pond I do with Jay together, and that's a lot of fun.
And who are the people in the partnerships? Are they people that have been in the business before, or new people?
All new people. Yeah, new people.
That's seriously, like, that makes you like an amazing ambassador to the sport, because that's what we need more than anything else, is to bring new people who have some disposable income, who want to take a little bit of risk and want to have a good time. And that's an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah. And they all like it. I mean, it's different levels of interest. I find that if I bring a bunch of buddies in, and half of them end up really falling in love with it like I do, and then the other half are like, "Yeah, it's not for me," right? And it just ends up being, you know, kind of being split. But so far, there's been a couple of good friends of mine that have really enjoyed it, and that's been awesome.
Well, you've given them some amazing days at the races. I was with you. We were up in Saratoga, and we flew down to the Haskell, and you just won that for the hell of it. I mean, seriously, like I was like, if I ever won the Haskell, like you wouldn't be able to talk to me for 3 months.
That was a fun day.
It was
That was not expected that day. I think at that point we just weren't sure where we were with that horse. So that was actually an upside surprise. It was really fun.
I mean, Exaggerated has proven to be amazing, and now he's retired.
Yep,
and he's standing at Windstar for $30,000. Yep. What's the deal so far? Is he getting a lot of interest?
I think it's going pretty well. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it's going pretty well. I think that, you know, it's still really just getting going.
Yeah.
But so far the feedback's been pretty good. Those guys do a terrific job. They're awesome partners.
They certainly do.
Yeah,
and he's by a
guys.
Great. You know, he's by Curlin.
Yep.
He's won a bunch of grade ones. He's good, really good horse, great stallion prospect. So I wish you all the luck in there. Are you still involved in that?
Yeah, we still own a little bit.
Okay.
But we sold the majority.
Right. So how do you decide who's training the horses?
Yeah, so
I know Chad's a big part of your operation.
Yeah, Chad's my main guy. Uh-huh. I mean, I'd say I probably have 60% of my horses with Chad. And most of the when we go buy a private purchase where we're able to buy the whole horse and move it, we'll move it to Chad in most cases. I mean, he's the main guy. He'll help us look at the purchases. He helps us find horses. I mean, he's been awesome to us.
And he's having an amazing couple of years.
Incredible.
I mean, just unreal.
Incredible. He's really, he just even what I've seen in the last, you know, for my limited time, the last couple of years, just looking at his barn, the quality of his barn, he's really, you know, done an unbelievable job. And the guy, you know, he just works nonstop. I mean, the one thing that when I look at the things that people in my business that are successful, he's got all those traits. That's one of the things we love about him.
What would you say what those are?
Hates to lose. Massively, massively competitive.
Uh-huh.
Work ethic, you know, second to none. You know, and just has that competitive streak. And he's smart and savvy. And, you know, Chad went to Cornell. He's a bright guy.
Yeah.
He's,
and he worked with Bobby Frankel.
And he's been trained incredibly well by Frankel. He worked as a vet for a while. He's just got, he's got all the tools to, I think, be able to really do everything.
Okay, what other trainers do you like that you think are sort of up and coming?
Sure, a guy named Brad Cox.
Yeah. I know you're high on him.
Yep,
yeah.
I like him a lot. We've started to give him more horses. We're trying to get him some better horses, but he's very easy to deal with, straight up. I mean, for me, the biggest thing is someone that's going to be direct with you, right? That's going to say, look, this is a good horse, good spot. You know, this horse, not very good. We should drop it. I mean, you need someone to be honest with you. And Brad and Chad are both pretty good with that. I've had some success with Rudy Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. Obviously, you know, I'm starting to do some more stuff in California. So we've got some horses with Keith DeSormo. We bought some yearlings with him. We've got a bunch of horses with Doug O'Neill. We've had some success with him. Wesley Ward, we've got some horses with as well. Those would probably be, you know, the main. I've had, you know, some, and then I've got some horses where I'll find a horse I really like and end up in someone's barn that isn't a barn that I had been in before. So Stall Walking Dude is a good example of a horse that that we bought part of with David Jacobson. And we've had a great run with him. We've run a bunch of races. I've found him really easy to deal with. Nice guy, straightforward, really good horseman. So there's been some people that weren't on my kind of normal radar that, mm-hmm. If a horse is in a good spot, there's no reason to move it. Sometimes you can't get a deal done unless the horse stays because the current owner has a relationship with the trainer and doesn't want to move it. So being flexible and having the ability to say, you know what, this horse is in a good spot. These partners seem like good guys. The horse is doing well with this trainer. I'll buy half and leave it in the barn, where there are a lot of owners that won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think back to some of the races we've won, we've been successful doing that. Brian Lynch is another guy that I've got a couple horses with, and we've had some good success with Lightstream.
So you just keep the horse with the trainer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's just the best thing to do.
Absolutely.
Any European horses? You involved in Europe at all?
Not really, no. Mm-hmm. I did a syndicate with High Clare just to try it.
Uh-huh.
And it was interesting. I've learned some. I did it mostly so I could learn.
Sure.
I think for me, it's too hard to follow.
Yeah.
I got with a day job and three kids and a
How
wife.
How dare you have a job? You're in the horse business.
Yeah.
And then what about breeding? Is that something that your partnerships are doing or
no,
not? You just sell everything?
Yeah, I've got one broodmare. We had a horse. It's actually a funny story. First day we went to go actually see Lady Eli run. I brought my kids. I've got three little kids, a 5 and 6 year old boys, 8 year old girl. They were probably a year younger, 2 years younger at the time. And my little guy saw a horse that day when I was kind of letting him pick the horses called Lunchtime. And he for some reason when we left, he thought Lunchtime was his horse. He didn't realize that Lady Eli was his horse. So we kept coming home and I'm like, hey guys, we won that race. And Sam kept saying, you know, when is Lunchtime going to run again? And I'm like, you know, he's 3 years old. I'm like, dude, lunchtime's not our horse. You know, mm-hmm. you don't own Lunchtime. So the next round of horses we bought, we let him name one, and he wanted to name the horse Lunchtime. I told him, like, we can't. It's taken. That's how it works. So we called the horse Breakfast Time. So Breakfast Time ran. I don't even think the horse actually ran. Definitely didn't do anything spectacular on the track. Maybe ran a few times, but didn't win a race. Got hurt. And, you know, I couldn't sell Breakfast Time for Sam. Right. So Breakfast Time is our first mare, and we bred her to Creative Cause, and she'll be having a baby in January.
Oh, that's
so
great! So you got
be our first one. So we're trying.
So your family's is somewhat enthusiastic like you are.
So my kids absolutely love it. My wife will talk about it in a second. Not quite there yet. But this past weekend we were in Florida. We've got just a little apartment in Miami. We went down there after Thanksgiving, and Sunday morning I'm thinking this will be my one chance to sleep because I've been working a lot. And 5 a.m, middle kid in my room, Dad, we're going to see the horses. I'm like, it's 5, man. You know, can you come to my bed? Let's go. Let's sleep. We'll get up in an hour. 5:15. You ready, Dad? Let's go. Next thing I know, next kid comes in 5:30. Are we ready? Should we wake up Corey? Should we wake up our daughter?
They got the
fever. They got the fever. Yeah. So, and it's amazing. It's an hour and 15-minute drive to Chad's barn, mm-hmm. and they take their little iPads, they jump in the back, we stop at Dunkin' Donuts, and we get there at 6:30, 6:45, and we're there for an hour, hour and a half. We're feeding everybody peppermints, especially Lady Eli. We walk around, we see all of our horses. They last about an hour, but they love it. Mm-hmm. And then we jump in the car and go home. And they spend more time in the car than on the way to the to see the horses, and they want to do it every time. So they've been super into it.
Well, you named Lady Eli is named after your wife, right?
My wife,
right.
Yep.
Okay, so when we come back, we're going to talk more about Lady Eli because, she's the queen around here. So we'll be right back. We're going to hear from TaylorMade.
TaylorMade, the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing, has teamed up with the Tony Leonard Collection. Now, horse enthusiasts from around the world can browse and purchase select photos from the lifelong collection of renowned equine photographer, the late, great Tony Leonard. For unique gifts and never-before-seen historical photos of racing's all-time greats, visit thetonyleonardcollection.com.
Okay, so we're back here with Sal Cumin, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Lady Eli. Is she sort of the queen of your stable, would you say?
Yeah, she is. She is. We've had some good horses, but she's the sentimental favorite, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she's the one that really got us hooked. She's the first grade horse we had. Mm-hmm. She's the first grade one winner we had. And then obviously, as you touched on before, just going through the battle that she had with laminitis over the last year and seeing how hard she fought and just being part of that, not knowing really anything about what it was. I mean, yeah, she is the queen.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, when you hear that a horse has a serious case of laminitis, you're not even thinking about whether or not they'll ever be able to run again competitively in a horse race. You're wondering if they can survive. I mean, that's really the bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, for me, ironically, when she stepped on a nail and we first thought she's had a cut on her foot and we're wondering if her foot's going to be okay, and then all of a sudden, 3 days later, Chad called and said she's got laminitis in one of her hoofs and it's moving to the other hoof. I have to say, I didn't know what laminitis was.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember coming home that night and my wife, who hasn't been super into the horses, but this one she's attached to
because
it was named after her.
Good job, by the way.
Thank God, that was my only shot.
Right.
And the two of us are sitting in our beds with our iPads, literally looking up everything we can on laminitis, trying to figure out what it is. And I'll tell you, it doesn't read well.
Well, the most famous horse with laminitis is Barbaro.
Yep.
It gets hurt in the Preakness of all races, and basically the entire country watched for months and months and months as they rehab this horse with the best possible medical attention, the best sort of updated techniques. I mean, they tried everything, and it went on for a long time, and then unfortunately he succumbed to it sometime later. And so to see Lady Eli come back, so basically shake the laminitis, start training, and then you start hearing, like, reading the TDN, like, Lady Eli's going to have her first work back. You're like, what are you talking about? This horse had laminitis. How is this possible? And then she, she has a prep race, and she then she wins. And then she's in the Breeders' Cup. And I'm going to play this stretch call. This one's not going to be as much fun as the Preakness, but it was an amazing performance. And it was the race, I can tell you that, at least I can speak for myself, it was the race that I was waiting for all Breeders' Cup weekend, and I think the entire crowd at Santa Anita and everybody watching on NBC felt the same way. So let's take a listen to the stretch call.
Lady Eli is bearing center of the course. Here comes Lady Eli after a bend. Queen's Trust on the outside. Lady Eli, Queen's Trust, they're coming down to the line. Very close. Queen's Trust may have gotten there. A raise of the whip by Frankie Dettori as Queen's Trust and Lady Eli were 1-2 in the Fillingham Mare Turf.
So, you know, I was riding the finish line at Santa Anita. And as I said, it was the race that I was rooting for the hardest. And you didn't quite know who won the race. I mean, it was really tight. It was all about the head bob, the angle. You know how you've been there before where you think you've won and it's the other way and vice versa. And I am a purist when it comes to watching races. I have binoculars and I watch every race live through my binoculars. And I knew exactly where you were sitting with your entire crowd and your family, and you had, you know, all your partners and your friends. It was a huge moment. And the photo sign went up, and it wasn't official yet as to who crossed the line first. And instead of watching the board, I took my binoculars and I watched you. Because to me, out of all the people in the entire place, there was nobody who had more on the line than you did. You know, for so many reasons. And unfortunately, she got nosed out in a great performance by, you know, a European filly. But you, you kind of shook your head. And as I said before, you were an incredible sport about it. You were sort of the leader of your crowd there. You wanted her to win for everybody else there. You wanted her to win for her, of course. And, you know, those are really tough beats. But the one thing I want to say to you is, it was an incredible performance. I mean, just an amazing performance that no one ever expected was possible. And, you know, I just have to, you know, give it to you and to Chad and to your whole team because it's the story of the entire year. Yeah. There's no question about it. And in a loss, I mean, that's the thing. She didn't win the Breeders' Cup this year. She won last year quite handily. But what's her status?
She's doing great. We fed her about 25 peppermints on Sunday morning. She loves the peppermints. She's you know, at Chad's barn in Palmetto. We're going to give her a break, but we're not going to kick her out. We'll let her just spend some time with Chad. He said the hardest thing for him is that because she didn't run much really over the last, you know, whatever it was, 14, 15 months, she is kind of rearing to go. She looks incredible.
So she's going to run again.
Oh, she's going to run next year.
Okay.
Yeah, so we probably will just take it easy with her, and my guess is we maybe even won't see her till the Jenny Wiley. You know, there's a shot Chad could start her before, but I think there's a chance we wait and
sure.
and just give her a break because, mm-hmm. you know, she'll have a big campaign ahead of her next year. With that race that she lost by a nose is our goal for the year, and we'll do the best we can to get there and hope we get lucky. You know, that was a tough beat. I mean, that was one that, you know, you sort of looked at the whole weekend and had a lot of action, and it was a great weekend to be there, but it was really all about that
it was one race. It certainly was. And like, you know, listen, I think that we were all you know, rooting for you to have the storybook ending.
Yeah.
Lady Eli is an amazing champion and one that's going to go down in history for so many reasons. You know, of course, because of her talent, but all that she's sort of come through.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm super excited for next year. I mean, I feel like she's still got more to show. She's got a ton of fight. And, you know, I couldn't be more excited for next year.
Well, this has been totally fun. It's great to sit and chat with you, hear about your story of horse racing. You know, this is one of the good stories. This is when somebody who, you know, took a shot to do something he didn't really know a lot about, and you're having fun, you're having success, and you're bringing more people into the business. You're sort of the stallion of the new people in the business. You're creating more progeny so that people will actually, you know, have great experiences. And that's the thing that we can only ask from you. And so thank you so much for being fantastic.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me here. I mean, this I feel just super fortunate that at, you know, 40, 41 now, years old, I found, you know, something in my life besides work and family that I, you know, that I love.
I feel the same way. It's great.
Yeah, I've made a ton of new friends and, learned a lot, and I'm looking forward to, you know, hopefully spending the next 20, 30 years of my life doing this.
Cool. All right. Ready to get something to eat?
You're taking me out to dinner, right?
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Thanks,
so.